All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Friday morning. If y'all hear my rooster going off out here, it's because he has found me all the way over here in the office. Too funny. Remember I told you about this rooster that finds me all over the house? He has found me all the way over here. And the fact that this is my first day back in the office. You just can't make this up, you know. But I was able to get my systems working last night whenever I went live. I had just walked over here, so I didn't have the Wi-Fi or anything set up, so I couldn't do notifications. And so I do greatly apologize to you guys, because usually I send you notifications whenever I go live, but was not able to and wanted to get that out about Elon. And all this. So before I get started, though, I'm going to ask Miss Leslie if she'll go ahead and open us up in prayer as she prays for the ministry. Go ahead, Miss Leslie.
Okay. A little groggy this morning. Dear Father God, we come together this morning with a meeting of minds to hear what Dr. June has to say. I pray that what she brings forth comes from you and goes to the ears of all of those who are listening, that they hear this, you in whatever message she brings forth. And I pray that this meeting is protected from any bad actors, and that we all will hear what the Spirit says to our ears. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
All right. Now, Leslie, I've got to ask you something, because this is 2 days that you've mentioned this in prayer, and I just want to make sure I'm understanding this right. You prayed twice about bad actors. Do you know what that is?
Just the word. Just the word that came. I meant, you know, evil spirits, whatever. That's just the word that came to my mind, my head.
Because I looked up what bad actor means. It means a person, group, or entity that engages in malicious, harmful, or unethical behavior, often for personal gain, especially in cybersecurity, finance, or law, a troublemaker, or an evildoer.
Yeah, that's a demon.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. I'm like, okay. But thank you, Miss Leslie. Thank you for praying. All right, now listen, guys, I am going to, I have been up since 2 o'clock this morning with the Lord. Now, he's doing something, because this is day number 30, and there is a theme I'm noticing that's happening, because when you go back and look on our website, where I give a reflection of what's happened over the last, throughout the process, a journal, I'm going to read you, I'm going to go down the line, I'm going to show you what God has been speaking to us about before I even share with you what he has for today, because this is getting the meat. We're sitting at the table with the Lord today with a T-bone steak, let me tell you. Okay, in the beginning, God talked to us about don't lose your salt. God restored our salt. Then he talked about how he was the perfect lamb and explained Jesus as what he is in the book of Revelation, what that means about being the lamb. Then he talked about being God in the wind, God showed us his various expressions of his protection through winds and how he brings judgment. Then we learned about how we're all on a journey and how to love one another and to help one another. Then we learned about how you must be born again and what that means with the covenant. Then he went into having access to Abraham's blessings once we get saved through Jesus and the second covenant. Then I gave some end time advice. And we read Revelation chapter 22 about what really matters in the end of days. But then we talked about the greater riches, about sharing about our faith being tested, how we must endure to the end, suffering, how we can endure. Then he talks about the light of our countenance, how he wanted us to be still. Then Jesus is the Passover. The new covenant began. We discovered that right before he was crucified, he did the communion with his disciples, and that's where the new era began. The new covenant began at that moment. Okay, then he talked about making us a clean vessel. Basically, because of what Jesus did with that blood and communion and him making access to everyone, to the Gentiles and everyone, that our whole purpose of living is to become in his image. So it's the point of changing us type of deal. Then we talked about healing our countenance, you know, when we're so downcast, and how to speak to ourselves to come out of that. And then he talked to us about how he is with us, and that he will not leave us. And then he explained the second covenant again. And then he talked about preparing the way. Then he talked about how he is the sun and the shield. So this morning he told me to go to Revelation chapter 12. Now, I got into a rabbit trail that was just, I mean, I'm still in it, you know. All from 2 o'clock this morning when I got up to worship the Lord. Now, this is going to be deep today, and let me just pray. Lord, I just come in agreement with Leslie. Lord, help me to articulate what it is that you're showing us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Because the Lord so far has been telling us, you know, if you will trust me as your God, I'm going to show you what a God really is. I have went before you and prepared the way. I am going to be with you. You know, he's really letting us know that, you know, that we are the modern day Israel number one, and he's going to take care of us just like that. Okay. So today's going to be a deep, deep dive. So I pray you can go with me through it all. Okay. Verse in chapter 12 in the book of Revelation, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailed in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. Okay, so I'm going to stop here. Now, let me just explain through my research and all the things I did this morning about what these terms actually are. So what I'm going to do is just read my notes. Okay, so the woman in the sky with the child, then there's a battle in heaven. Satan was cast out, for the accuser of our brethren was cast down, and that's in verse 1 through 10. Okay, now, the woman is God's people. Israel, the church. The male child is Jesus, caught up to God in the ascension. And so if you think about it, okay, so the people of God is Israel, okay? That's the 12 tribes is people, okay? The people is the woman, just like the church, the bride, is the woman. The woman gave birth to the son, which was Jesus. That is the male child. Then the dragon is Satan, the devil who seeks out to destroy. Now, the war in heaven was Michael and his angels defeated the dragon and his angels and cast them down. Okay, so I hope that by me making it plain like that, that it helps you. Because like in verse 1 where it says, let me get my ink pen over here. Okay. When it says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Okay, so I take that as the woman with the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 stars. Now, she being with child, travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. I take that as, okay, when she brought forth, you know, all the trouble she had. But when she came forth in the birth with Jesus, there was a lot of trouble in the atmosphere over the birth of Jesus in many ways. Okay, let's look at Herod. You know, Herod tried to go out and kill all the firstborn because they knew about the promise that had been prophesied. And there were prophets saying, now is the time. And they knew that it was that time, so they wanted to kill this. There's a lot of trouble in the land. But she came forth with the child. Now, another thing that was a trouble, and this is all just coming out of my spirit here, not my notes. But another thing that came in trouble was the covenant. Remember all of the troubles that Jesus had in his lifetime when he would go to the tabernacles and the different meetings, and he would try to talk to the theologians, which is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? And he would try to explain to them, you know, that he is bringing this second covenant, you know, and he's trying to explain to them this new law, you know, which really made them mad. They tried to set him up all the time. They tried to trap him all the time because they wanted to kill this man, okay? And that's what I see as well when it says here that all the trouble that was brought. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's Herod and all them trying to kill. Now, a lot of this, I believe, is the epic war that happened up in heaven. This is not just one event that we're reading about. This is a metaphor, right? So this is like just giving you a short summary of what happened with Satan and what his goal is, basically in a nutshell. Okay, so Satan was chomping at the mouth when he knew that God was coming to the earth. Because remember, at that time, he had rule of the earth, remember? Through Adam, he had the keys to the kingdom. Now he knows that God is coming. And so he tried to go kill that birth. But how was God coming? Through a woman, through the children of Israel. He was coming through the promise. You see what I mean? So when he come out, it says that Satan was there and he was really wroth about it. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, which Jesus did. Okay, and then her child was caught up into God and to his throne. That's the ascension when Jesus went back. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, now I was asking God this morning about this wilderness. So let me just read my notes here. And then it says there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place anymore in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, now, in my notes, I wrote this. Okay, so in the theme of Revelation chapter 12, there's a cosmic conflict, okay? It shows that there's a spiritual war over earthly events. It's like a metaphor of what's happening as a whole, you know, with Jesus coming. But Jesus triumphed through his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. He had to battle Satan himself. But he had God's protection. So fleeing into the wilderness is a metaphor of God protecting his church. And then I got to thinking, okay, Israel brought her forth. The people brought the baby forth, Jesus. Now, when I think about us being the modern day Israel, let me give you a few comparisons I wrote in my notes about this. Okay, the children of Israel in Egypt. Now, Pharaoh came after them. In our modern day times, the children of Israel, the Antichrist is after us. Okay, go back to Egypt. The children of Israel left Egypt to go to the wilderness to follow God, correct? In modern day time, the children of Israel, us, the remnant, is leaving the world system and going in the wilderness. Do y'all realize that for the past, this is 2026, sorry, 20, okay, so for the past 6 years that we have been in a wilderness? Think about it. Let that sink in a minute. How many times have we had prayer calls where people feel so lonely, so isolated, and so separated from the world because they choose not to go with Egypt? I'm titling this sermon, "We're in the Wilderness," because this is exactly where God is having us right now. Let me get a pen. Okay, we're in the wilderness. So this is, we are where the children of Israel, which that story is given to us for faith. Okay, it really did happen, but I'm saying it gives us a precedence that we had to go by. So when we choose to leave Egypt, now let's look at Egypt. Egypt, of course, had the children of Israel in slavery, but it also provided for them and stuff, didn't it? Because remember when they was in the wilderness and complaining, they're like, "Why do you have us out here, Moses? Why, we'd much rather just go back over here, because at least over here we had this and this and this." You know what I mean? So, but in our modern day times, the children of Israel in the modern day times has been in a wilderness since this thing began. Because they wanted to inject us. And they wanted to put their serpent seed in there. And we said no. And not only that, but all the other stuff they're doing. I mean, all the other shenanigans, you know. And I didn't realize it until this sermon this morning that we are in our wilderness. So Pharaoh and his armies in Egypt, let's go on back to Egypt, because remember when the Antichrist revealed himself in COP 27 years ago, he said, "Let's all go back to Egypt," didn't he? That's their goal, is to take everybody back to Egypt and to the law. So let's go on back to Egypt, the children of Israel in Egypt. Pharaoh and his armies had plans to take out the remnant. But what did God do? And this is a word for us today, for the children of Israel of modern day times, is that God showed out in the wilderness, didn't he? This is where the miracles really showed out, is in their suffering in the wilderness. God provided food back in Egypt to the children of Israel back in Egypt. And God will do the same for us in modern day times. Angels were with them, the children of Israel in Egypt, and the angels will be with us in modern day times. Judgments in the days of Egypt were to the wicked, but to God's people, the children of Israel, it was a protection. Example, the Red Sea and the Pharaoh and his armies was coming after the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And the children of Israel were scared. And then the angel went behind them when the army was approaching and put a wall of fire between them, the children of Israel, which was at the bank of the river, and the army and the enemy. To them, it was danger, danger. You will burn alive if you try to cross this wall of fire. But to the other side, to the remnant, to the children of Israel, it was light and warmth. A blessing on one side and a curse on the other. Another example was the blessing of parting the Red Sea. God had the waters go up on both sides. The land in the middle was dry. And they was able to walk across with the fish and the whales riding by looking at them in awe that God had done this and made a path through the waters. Well, when they got in there, the enemy was wanting to jump aboard that blessing and jump on that path, and then they got swallowed up, destroyed, and killed because it was a judgment to them where it was a blessing to the children of Israel. Now, it don't stop there. What was dark in the to the enemy is light to the church. God performed miracles for them the whole time they was in the wilderness. It is spiritual warfare. To the children of Israel of Egypt, it was spiritual warfare, and to us, it is spiritual warfare. We have to protect our mouth in our wilderness. Protect our mouth. In the wilderness, the children of Israel of Egypt's day was not alone. They had a prophet, they had Moses, and they had Aaron, and they had, you know, angels there with them and stuff. But now we have all the temple on the inside. We don't need that. We don't need an outward priest. We have all that we need on the inside of us through the Holy Ghost. Because that's why Jesus left, is so that the Holy Ghost can come. And we build a relationship praying in tongues with the Holy Ghost. He gives us dreams. He talks to us. You know, he instructs us. He teaches us. You know. Okay, now to continue. Israel, now I'm going back to my notes. Israel is represented as a woman. God is married to Israel. Now Jesus, now isn't that something? Because if you think about the Holy Spirit, which is God, came upon Mary and impregnated her. Remember, God was married to Israel, but he divorced her. If you look at it in kind of a, and I've never thought of this before, but look at it in kind of a natural way, God did have sex with his wife. I mean, if you, I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, Mary representing the children of Israel, you know, in the natural, how he was married. And then, but Jesus came. This could be as well why the Catholic Church says Jesus, I mean, not Jesus, but Mary is the Queen of Heaven. Like, God married Mary, had sex, and had Jesus as the Son. I mean, I could see where they get that, but I disagree with it, if that makes sense. But Jesus came to be the lamb that was slain for her, the children of Israel, is the church. The people get saved, the bride. In other words, okay, let's just go down this road a thought for a minute, because it was the Holy Ghost that impregnated Jesus. That's the word. I mean, impregnated Mary. So the Holy Ghost is God. Right? And so God impregnated her, and that's his son. Okay, so then when the son is born, that's why the beast wanted to kill it, because this is the heir. Remember, this goes back to the Matthew parable about the heir. I sent my heir, and you still killed my heir, remember? And so from that point forward, when Jesus is born, when people get saved and accept Jesus as the second covenant and as the sacrifice, as the lamb, they become his bride. The role shifts. It's hard to explain. God has his bride. Jesus has his bride. But anyway, man to be slain, Israel, the church. It's people who get saved. The bride, the church, is her. Okay? In other passages, Israel or Zion is a woman in the Old Testament. Isaiah 54, 1 through 6. Jeremiah 3, 20. Ezekiel 16, 8 through 14. Hosea 2, 19 through 20. Israel bore a child, Mary. And Mary represented Israel, Revelation 12:5. Let's look at that. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. The word says that Jesus left the earth. It said that Jesus left the earth to sit at the right hand of the Father. So that fulfills Revelation 12:5. Okay, and then pain is what Jesus went through, travailing in birth to deliver him to humanity. But after the ascension, he was complete. To devour the child as soon as born is Herod trying to kill the babies to get to Jesus. The male child is Jesus. Now, I was looking at the 1260 days as the 3.5 years of tribulation, Daniel 9 prophecy, Daniel 9, 24 through 27. And that took me off on a rabbit trail about the current day tribulation time. So I'm just going to read you my notes from my rabbit trail, my study time that I had with the Lord this morning. And then when I do the news tonight, I'm going to show some of this to the body of Christ as a whole about what is happening in current day time with the Antichrist type of deal and what he's doing. And I'll explain that in just a minute. Now, in Daniel 9:27, it says that he shall confirm the covenant with many, which is 1 week, 7 years. And I always thought and believed that the seven-year tribulation began in 2020 because that's when the great reset started. Hold on. Please forgive me. It messes with my passages with that wood stove because, you know, it throws so much dust around, but it's such beautiful warm heat. Anyway, I was thinking that the tribulation started in 2020 when the Abraham Accord started. So I'm going to go down a journey with you guys. Okay, so I actually wrote all this down this morning. The timeline of tribulation. Okay, now, when Trump first signed the Abraham Accords was in January 2020, and that's when the Great Reset started. Okay, the COVID Agenda 19, which is Certificate of Vaccination ID System for AI. One is A, nine is I for artificial intelligence. So in 2020, it actually began the artificial intelligence identification mark. The people that have taken the V have a new number. Now, their number is not a Social Security number. It's an, what is that called? Not EIN number. It's a coding number. What is the name of that? It's a long bunch of codes that you can pick up on Bluetooth, long code. But anyway, now we see that Elon stole the Social Security data, and it was just announced last night, which I'm going to have on the news today, about Trump going after the IRS and some other organization because their data was stolen as well. So basically, the fiber for the cyber is at hand. The beast now has all of our records, which they're saying is stolen. The Social Security numbers, all of our, you know, the tax records, everything about you is now maybe publicly scrutinized, okay, all your records. Or they could use it to bribe people to cross over. But the point is that the ID system is being redone right now because it's now a global ID. It's no longer just the United States ID. That's why they're all getting these Bluetooth addresses, because they're a very unique address for that device. They're now a device. In their coding, it's hard to explain, but that's what the CO, Certificate of Vaccination ID for Artificial Intelligence, because remember, artificial intelligence is going to be the judge and the executioner. And so it's kind of like the kids of AI now. Because I was talking to Dennis this morning about all this, and I'm about to read you guys about my discoveries this morning. I tell you, I still believe to this day that Elon is the false prophet. I believe it to this day even more than I did before. And you'll see in the timeline one example. But another example is, when I interviewed his babysitter, she said she don't believe he's human. She believes that he is made from artificial intelligence, which may be true because you look at his father worked with the MIT. Trump's uncle worked at MIT. This is where they're two connected. And then he has been kind of like the prophet for artificial intelligence. Anything having to do, if he speaks it, he's the official prophet. So he's like the false prophet for the beast. And he also has 14 kids by 5 or 6 different women. And he names a lot of his kids after artificial intelligence. Like, are these kids born from artificial intelligence? I don't know, but he's naming his kids after artificial intelligence. So that's one of my things. But anyways, let's move on with the timeline. Okay, so in January of 2020, Trump signs the first Abraham Accords. But then in September of 2020, he brings in like 2 more countries. But then in January of 2021, he signs the final one with 4 countries. Okay. Then 3.5 years later is the, in quotes, assassination attempt against Trump by the ear. This event. Okay. First, let me back up. Let's stick with January 2021. 4 countries signed the Abraham Accords: United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Morocco, and Sudan. Then, this is also at the timing when Biden took over as the United States president. March of 2022 to June of 2023, Biden worked with those countries and did 2 major events. So he continued what Trump did. And one of those was called the Negev Forum Conference, where he traveled to Israel, hosted by Israel, with those other countries, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, and Morocco. The same group reconnected in January of 2023, where? In Abu Dhabi, to work on the Palestinian economy and the people of Palestinians. So this group that signed the first Abraham Accords, in where it was all finalized in January of 2021, is the ones outlining what is happening to the Palestinian people in 2023 with Biden, with the Democrats that are so evil. Then in 2023, the Biden administration was nearing completion on a comprehensive U.S.-Saudi defense treaty. But Trump came in and finished it. This treaty was halted with Biden, which they said was due to the October 7th war of Israel. Now, bumping forward in time, we're still talking about the Abraham Accords. Trump, in 2025, established a landmark strategic defense agreement with Saudi Arabia with a $142 billion plus arms package. This is the month he got in office, in January of 2025. This was a strategic defense agreement to share burdens. Okay. There was a major, he made them a major non-NATO ally status, where he elevated their status in the United States. It was a massive arms package with F-35 jets. He gave them air, missile defense, maritime security, and border normalization. Okay. Then he gave them technology, and there was an AI cooperation where they shared sources. So they normalized that. They merged. The United States and Saudi Arabia is what happened with technology and agendas. Civil, nuclear, and energy framework and critical minerals accord for Ukrainian, for uranium and other minerals. That was all his first month. Then, just 5 months later, he signs a $600 billion agreement with Saudi Arabia. Now, this is at the same time that he's getting an airplane from these people that he is now riding around in a presidential plane that he gets to keep when it's over with. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. Now, in this $600 billion agreement, Saudi Arabia also gave $20 billion to the United States for AI data centers. Google, DataVolt, Oracle, Salesforce, AMD, and Uber was included in this $600 billion deal by investing $80 billion more in cutting-edge transformative technology in both countries. So this is how big this thing is. I was wondering, who is DataVolt? DataVolt designs next generation data centers. But in this May 31st of 2025 healthcare bill was also, in this $600 billion agreement is a healthcare initiative. Now this is going to creep you out. It's with a company called Shamek IV Solutions that will be investing $5.8 billion plant in Michigan, a high capacity artificial intelligence driven IV fluid factory. They actually put it in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. I'm thinking, artificial intelligence, IV, what are they going to be doing with these IV? You know, so see what I mean about the rabbit trail. Now, they have a website called GovTribe, where I guess all of these different presidential leaders are now a tribe. They call themselves a tribe. I do have it for the news tonight, but I haven't been able to go off in that rabbit trail. But the point that I'm trying to say is this. Let's go back to the timeline. Now that you know about the shenanigans of the Abraham Accords, let's go back to the timeline. Now, so January of 2021 is the final Abraham Accord deal one. 3.5 years later is Trump's assassination attempt, where he miraculously lived. Okay? Then Elon comes on the scene. Trump's faith advisors announce at a prayer breakfast at the RNC that Trump was anointed at this event by the blood on his ear and on his toe. He was anointed as a priest for his priestly office that he will be walking in. So I believe that's when Satan entered at that point. Because right after that, within a week, Elon appears. This is where we see Elon jumping up and down the stage in his black mega hat. And he's all, you know, I'm dark mega. So now they merge together. 6 months before he takes office. Okay, now, January of 2025. 3 years left of the AC reign. Terror to the church. And if you think about, okay, Jesus's ministry was 3 years. The Antichrist, who does everything opposite, is now 3 years, beginning in January 2025. Now, what happened? There's so many things that happened whenever he got in office. One was that he brought the false prophet in by the help of the church and drained all of the data and the privacy of the American citizens, and nobody said nothing. I mean, they did, but it didn't change nothing. So they drained the data, which is a setup of the church. Don't forget, because something just came to my spirit. When Trump ran for office, I think it was, let me look and see. When was Trump's election data fraud on Facebook? Remember when that company stole all the Christians? There it is. Cambridge Analytical Data. Okay. I thought it was right after he got put in. It was back in 2018 or 2017. Here we go. Facebook and Cambridge Analytica. Okay. A political data firm hired by President Trump's 2016 election gained access to private information on more than 50 million. Isn't that funny how people forget about that data breach? Facebook users, and they found out most of them was from Christians. So now he's got Facebook, X, his Truth Social. They bought out Rumble. Who else? TikTok. Can you imagine all the data that they have on people? So the point is that back then, you know, he took the data of the church off of the social media there. Okay, so 2025, also in that year, of the 3 years left, we had the diabolical plot of Charlie Kirk. 9 months after Trump came in. That was labeled a martyr. I believe it was the birthing of martyrdom. The To Get Her campaign, the Together. Now, January 2026, which is where we're at right now, Trump signs the Board of Peace. This leaves us, you know, in this plan, if it is the 7 years, it would be 2 years left of terror coming to the church. The plots and plans of their terror ship type of deal. Now, so this leaves 2 years left. The majority of the people on the board are Christian haters to the bone. Muslims. And their target is to get her. So, in verse 17, which we haven't got there yet, but it says that the dragon went to make war with the remnant of her seed, the remnant of Israel. But in this scripture, which we'll see in a minute, and then that finishes my notes and we can get back to the scripture, is what is the definition of the modern day Israel in this scripture? Number one, they keep the commandments of God, which Jesus said, what are the two main commandments? And then number two, they have the testimony of Jesus. Now, remember that when the bride is standing on the streets of, on the sea of glass in this tribulation scenario, they said these are those that died for their testimony of Jesus. Remember? What is the testimony of Jesus? And this is why I believe God has solidified this 40-day fast to really bring this out so that we really have an understanding of what the second covenant is. That's our testimony. You win them over by the word of your testimony. Of course, your life, of course, is your personal testimony. But the testimony of Jesus is that A, you believe he exists. B, you believe he's the Lamb. C, you believe that he died on the cross for our sins and started a new covenant. You don't see, really, if you look at Catholicism, the one that's really involved in today's world, ecumenism, they're the king of ecumenism. Because they blend both the law and the grace. Ecumenism. The law meaning they still have a priest. They still, you know, have all their rituals. And all this other stuff. With all their, you know, worshiping all these idols and whatnot. In other words, they blend the law. And they blend the grace. They try to say the name of Jesus, whatnot. But it's really just a perverted version of the real truth. Okay, now let's go back to the scripture. Now that you understand my thinking of the timeline, and this is just me today, this morning, being raw, just kind of putting things together, writing it down of what I know news-wise. And major things that have happened to the church as a whole, you know, globally, and how it's escalated. And that's one really positive to this ministry that I believe is that, number one, God has kept me. Think about it. I have not been sick. I have not been taken out by the enemy. I have not been removed. I mean, I'm still here. It's a miracle. I have people ask me all the time, I don't even know how you're still living. And it's the truth. And I believe it's because of the hand of God. That's the only way. In my own self, you know, there's no way I could be this good or this smart. It's only because of God's anointing and his protection, and I believe that's why he gave me Dennis. Because Dennis, he's practical. You know what I mean? He's solid. practical guy. He's what I need. Does that make sense? Needing? You know, he has helped me since, you know, I've been here, but he has helped me to be able to do what I do with you guys and be the best solid support. You know, not once has he asked me to stop. Not once has he even slowed me down. You know, he'll tell me, you know, like, I'm praying for us, honey. You know, I just want to know, you know, should we still be doing the news? Should we, you know? So we do keep ourselves before God, you know, about those things and the timing of, you know, how we should do things and whatnot. But he had, because if he did, y'all, I'd have to stop. Because I am truly in submission to him. And when I married him, I made that commitment. And the fact that he is, I truly believe, a modern day Paul to me, you know. He's not perfect or anything, don't get me wrong. You know, he's not perfect, but his heart is what I know just pleases the Lord so much, you know. But if he did ask me to stop, I would have to. And I would have to do it even if other people were mad. You know, because I am in submission to him. And I believe that when a wife is in submission to her husband, I believe that that's a proper covering. And I believe that it keeps her blessed. You know, like the Proverbs 31 woman, blessed in the city and blessed, you know, in the field. Because I remember right before me and him got married, and the Lord told me, I want you to love him like you love me. And I told you all that story, and that's how I relate my relationship to him. You know, is that he's my covering. And remember what I told you guys. If you have a husband that is not understanding things the way that you do, like end time scenario and whatnot, and he's kind of rebellious and stubborn and stiff-necked, ask God if it's you that's the block. And the reason I say that is because when men feel like that the women are bucking him, it brings up a wall of defense. But when she is soft and she talks, now I'm just telling you, I'm 57 and I've been married a lot of times. You know, I've learned. But when you're soft and you're like, yes, sir, you know, and you kind of step back with your authority where you, when you're single, you used to be like that because you're, you know, in self-protection mode. But when you're married, it's different. He's the head. So just go to the Lord and ask him, Lord, have I, through some bitterness in my past or some hurt in my past, is it me that is causing him to not see you the way I see you? You know, what can I do to help him? And then the Lord may tell you, back off. Quit bringing all that stuff up. You know, when you watch that stuff, do it when he's not around. Don't take time away from him to do that. You know, when he's there, give him attention and, you know, get to know him a little more, and then let me work on him. Give him back to Jesus, you know, and ask God to help you to help them by your actions. Remember I told you the story about that woman that was a head pastor and her husband just didn't like it at all, and he wouldn't have nothing to do with her or the ministry. And then the Lord spoke to her one day. He said, I want you to give up your ministry. I want you to sit down and come under your husband's covering. So it was hard, you know, but she did, and she set him down and told him, you know, the Lord told me to sit down, and so I'm not going to preach anymore, and I'm just going to be your wife. And she said it only lasted, I forgot how long. It was either 2 weeks or 2 months, but it was a very short time. And when he saw that she was for real and that she was humbling herself and allowing him to be the head, then he changed his mind. And he told her, he said, I see now that is your calling, and I want to support you, and I want you to go back to being the pastor. So he went to the church for the next 30 years, and he would go up there and set up her pulpit. He would put her Bible up there and all this, and you know, he prepared the way for her, and he was that way until he died. But it was her, you know, humbling herself under him. And because sometimes, I just want to say this, sometimes when we know what we know and we research and we get so smart, you know, from the tree of knowledge, you know, really is what it is. But we get so smart, and sometimes that can bring a haughtiness, and it can bring an air about you that makes him feel like he's not respected, you know, because he may say something in his ignorance, and then you shoot him down because you know the truth. So you shoot him down, you know. What we need as a woman is knowing when to tame our tongue. You know, the Lord will deal with him. You just be you. And be soft around him. Just be, I call it being soft, you know, because the Bible says a kind word will shut down an angry man. And that is the truth, you know, because when Dennis, now one thing about Dennis that most people don't know, I'm going to stop recording to tell you this. All of you that wasn't on here, you missed out. Okay, so let's get back to the word here. Now, let's go back to verse 10 where it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And remember this about Satan, he's a legalist. Remember when I said Jesus is the door? See, we're a house, we're a temple, so we open doors. We have many rooms in our heart. So when we open the door to Jesus and he comes in, he sets up his throne on the heart. Where the devil comes in is us opening doors. Okay? So Satan is the legalist. So what we need to do is find out what legal door did we open to allow him to come in and shut him down? You see what I mean? Okay, because he accuses. All right, let's go to verse 11. And they, talking about the remnant, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Martyrdom. You know, the past 6 years, boy, I've been preparing everybody. You have to be ready to give your life. You have to. Because you need to have that set in your mind. Because if not, the enemy will keep trying to persuade you to cross over. Do we love our lives enough that we want to live in this synthetic fake world? Or do we want to, you know, live with the Lord forever? Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down into you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. That's the church. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, time and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. Boy, it really got me this morning. Yes, it did. Because what has God been speaking to us about these 40 days? One of the things is the face of God, hasn't he? I'm going to have to get up and turn my heater on. Hold on. I turned it off because I'm afraid it's too loud for you guys, but now I'm free. We still have two inches of ice outside. So I'm going to have you guys suffer with me. You guys are just going to have to suffer with me. Because I am too cold right now. Okay. I'm just happy to have electricity. Believe me, those 5 days, oh my word. I am so thankful for electricity right now. Okay, so now, going back to the face. One thing that God has really stressed us over the last 40 days. It's been 30 now. Can you believe we only got 10 days left? Is that if we will continue in the rest of our race and we will trust in Him as the remnant, even though we see the onslaught of the enemy, we see the wolf at the door. He's trying to blow our house down, you know. He's growling. We see his big old teeth, you know. But the Lord has been assuring us that if we will keep our heart fastened towards him and keep our gaze upon him, that his face will shine upon us. Remember that sermon just a couple of days ago about the sun and the shield? That's what that is. His face shining upon us. And right here it says that God will keep us from the face of the serpent. That is pretty amazing, isn't it? And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. I want to talk about that a minute. And I know that when I preach, I kind of mix the news in with it, but it's because of what I know and bringing it in with the word. And it all flows together. I mean, God has revealed this end time scenario to me, so I can't help it but to preach and to talk about this stuff. One day, I was riding down the road, and I came upon this city, like a, you know, a small little country town, and they had this wall mural that was a flood. How many of you, I can't see you chat, so I can't ask like I do on, you know, Patreon or whatever. But how many of you remember that video when I was driving down the road live? Y'all remember that one? And I come up upon this mural, and I said, whoa, wait a minute. Y'all got to see this. And then I took you guys over there, and I zoomed in on this mural. I said, all right, everybody's in class. I want to know what everybody thinks about this mural. Y'all remember that? Honey, that was the Noahide laws, if I have ever seen it. It was in the rainbow colors, and it was a flood drowning out the bride. And then it had all down the side of the building some weird stuff about Orthodox Jews and a flood and something, something. And then I told you guys that a lot of these churches that have the flood symbol, or they call themselves the river and all that, it all has to do with the Noahides. Not every church, I'm imagining, isn't. but it's just a clue. Just look at what they're teaching and who they're partnering with. Like, we have one here that, let me go off the recording. I can't say this publicly. Hold on. Okay, so when I see this scripture in verse 15 where it says the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Okay, I see that as a flood of lies, and more lies. They're hoping to carry people away with it. And then the last scripture is, or the last two, and the earth held the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed which kept the commandments of God. Here is the seed. Keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I just have to continue just because we're talking about the sea. Go to the next chapter in verse 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon the heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Boy, we've seen a lot of lions since Trump got in office. And the dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it was wounded to death. And the deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And that is what happened after his ear incident. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, which he did with the 5G. He gave power to the beast, AI, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And that is exactly what we see happening right now. I wrote in my Bible here that when Trump stood in front of that one gay church there in D.C., right in front of the White House, and he held the Bible there, and the media asked him, sir, why are you holding a Bible? He said, just because I want to. And I told everybody then that was the sign to the entire world that the persecution to the bride has begun. That's what I believe. He did it right in front of a gay-led woman preaching church there, right in ecumenical church, right in front of the White House. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Boy, we see that by the leadership right now, the way they worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Isn't that sad? If any man has an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. See, I believe that, and I'll stop right here, but I believe that in this end time scenario, the church is truly being tested. You know, which God are you going to believe in? Which God are you going to trust, people? Because there is no way that you can look at this end time scenario and think that all of this is okay and that you can just step right in on all this. I just don't see how anybody can back that up with scripture. Not at all, you know. No way. So that's my sermon this morning. And I know it got off, but one thing I want to stress to everybody today, going along with our theme of this 40-day fast, is that we are in the wilderness. We are the children of Israel in the wilderness right now, making it to our promised land. What is our promised land? It's heaven. It's not on this earth. Our promised land is not here. It's over there. So we have to endure until the end, because that's where our reward is. It's our prize waiting over there for us to achieve. But we have to go through these trials and tribulations here in the earth. We have to go through this. And everything is according to God's will. So Satan is got his wrath against the church, but it's the will of God. All of this has been written before time began. You know, this, it's all meant to be this way. So we can't be angry that we're living in such horrible times. We have to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing and that he is going to help us when we are called to whatever we're called to. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So let's all pray right now. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for confirming to us, Lord, that you're with us, that you have not left us or forsaken us, Lord. We thank you that you are confirming to us again how you will take care of us in the wilderness. We just have to trust in you and allow you to be God, for you to do miracles and to show out, Lord. So, Lord, we humbly submit our husbands to you, all of us that are married. We submit our husbands to you, Lord, and we ask that you help us to submit to them, Lord, and to know how to love them better so that they can see better. Help us to help them. And, Lord, we just pray that you help us, Lord, on how to be a better Christian and son and daughter to you. And Lord, help us to have peace in our heart today from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. I pray that you help everyone that's got ailments. And Lord, we pray for Pastor this morning with his ribs. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you off my husband right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your word says that by your stripes that we are healed. And we're all in agreement today for Pastor that you would heal him, Lord. Heal his ribs in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, guys, please pray for him. He's hurting so bad. I hear him just moaning all night. And I'm really monitoring him to see if we have to go the next level to go to the doctor. We don't want to. So please pray for him, you know, because he fell the other day on the ice out there when he went to go feed the goats. That's why I said, I'm done with these goats. I am done with the goats because it's so much work on Dennis, you know. But anyway, but he fell and he hurt his ribs and you know, so just pray that, you know, he'll be healed and everything and be relieved of this suffering. And I would appreciate y'all, you know, praying for him. And also, if you could pray for us, about the ice. We still have, we can hardly walk on it. You know, the only way that I'm able to walk from the office over here is where his tracks on the snow have a little ridges. So I walk on the ridges so I don't slide on the ice. I mean, it's still a dangerous situation we have going on here is what I'm trying to tell you. So that's it. So I'm going to stop the recording. Now, today I can open up the prayer lines and spend some time with you. I'm at my office. Hold on.